Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, whatever he wants to do on the earth, what he first requires is that a man of weight. You know, I mentioned about weight last time. That those who are light, men of vanity, that a man of weight, all right, will cooperate with me and then simply utter words which are in accordance with my will. And then I do what I want to do on the earth. I said something to us last time, that's where I'm continuing from. There are the people who you are connected to because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is a heartfelt. It's difficult to sit down here and say, Lord, I'm praying for Mr. Hu Jintao, who lives in Guangzhou, all right, in China, that you will bless him. So God said, no, wahala, I will show you 20 men. Identify Hu Jintao. So you don't even know who you are praying for. Are you getting my point? And if you wanted to pray, all right, you have to have a connection. Maybe you know Hu Jintao's sister who's in Nigeria. And he says, please agree with me. I want to pray for my brother. Then, Lord, I don't know him, but I know the sister. So I'm asking a blessing for this young woman here. That's how God does things. So I'm talking about righteousness and then the effectual prayer. Being that one that one is connected to. Do you understand my point? Now, so what happens is that when God wants to bless somebody, I said something earlier. Let me quickly finish saying it. That's what I'm talking about Abraham. That spiritual things are in measures. As you increase with God, your measure of mercy in his presence also increases. What it means is that you cannot take of the mercy that you have with God and share with other people. And that's God's purpose. Listen, I've told you before, life is not about food and hunger. You understand my point? God passes you through things so you can out of it develop a godly and righteous character. So that when you speak, God will move. Let me tell you the truth. That's why you are praying for some things. God says, you don't understand. I'm not in a hurry. Yeah, this blessing, take it for granted. Oh God, that's my message for this year. Take God's blessings, take them for granted. They are coming. They have their time. Are you getting my point? God said, look, Joseph, get the point. If you don't go through this pit and serve as a slave in Potiphar's house, all right, you will not be able to pray for these wicked people you call brothers. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That you will not be able to forgive them. Because Jesus taught the principle later. He said, okay, you are my people here now. Whatever you forgive, I forgive. Whatever you retain, I retain. So when Joseph forgave his brethren, God said, me too, I forgive them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, to allow the plan of God to be effective, God allowed Joseph to go through everything he went through before he stepped him up into the throne. And that way, look, Joseph alone, listen, could preserve Egypt all the days of his life. Not physically. Now, it's not just about ability to arrange. It's more of when they say a storm is coming and it's going to wipe out all the fields. And Joseph will look at the lush, you know, fields that have been irrigated in Egypt. And he will close his windows and kneel down and say, dear Lord, preserve for me this harvest. And God said, this man, what can I do? The man that didn't hold anything against his brothers. The man that refused Mrs. Potiphar because of the fear of God, not because of fear of HIV. You know, there are two different reasons why you do the right thing. You follow what I'm going to say? He said, the man who did all of this, he's asking for ordinary grain. He said, Michael, any demon of storm that goes near Egypt, I want to see him in seven pieces. Michael said, no problem. And I'll go and wait for all the demons. Say, who wanted to stir up that storm? Which one of you? They said, no, we change our mind. We'll go to Sudan. But because Sudan doesn't have any Joseph, with his windows closed, praying over the harvest of the land, they're in trouble. You know, I told the world region, I said, that the demons that were released into South Africa couldn't walk. This was a prophetic word. So they were deflected into Rwanda. And in a few months, 500,000 people were dead, killed by their own brethren. Cholera finished the rest. He said that was the demon, the horde of evil spirits that were heading for South Africa at the end of apartheid. The men prayed and said, not here. And the demon said, okay, what do we do? Let's release our atomic bomb. I told you before that Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I think it was Nagasaki or one of the two of them. It was not the town that they sent the pilots to. It's just that they have primary targets. And they have secondary targets. So when they got to the industrial city they were sent to, the cloud cover was so thick, the pilots couldn't see anything. So they left there, and the first industrial city they saw on the way, they dropped the bomb there. It now became Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Maybe it might have been Hiroshima and maybe Tagayaki, whatever it is. But God said, no, I'm telling you, somebody will just look. Maybe that morning, somebody, the Holy Spirit, I told you, will stir up the heart of people. God said, there was a time I did not want to destroy. Listen, people had given me cause to destroy. All right? Therefore, what did I do? I sought for a man who will stand in the hedge between me and these people and plead for mercy. That's what he was supposed to do. He said, but I didn't find. Therefore, you know what I did? I released all the wrath and anger and the vexation of my soul. I poured it upon them. And that was it. An atomic bomb arrived. Boom. Swept everybody up. I said it. Rwandans and Burundians, you should go and find out the sin their fathers committed that made intercessors scarce in their midst. Let me say something to you, all right? Intercessors are made, oh my God, understand this, in the time of trouble, in the time of pain, men who have been hurt but refuse to sit down with their hurt. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, this one I'm saying, this country is better. This one is better. Be careful. A lot of times, what we are doing is throwing away our power to intercede. Money is, Satan knows what he's doing. He said, well, come. I will make you rich. You know, if you pray again, but what do you want to do with prayer? Is prayer not for food? He said, yes, care. Is it not for raiment? Yes, now. Is it not for house? Mm-hmm. Nobody to get wife and be able to take care of her. He said, yes. I'll make you rich. You don't need to pray again. But if you had understood that the power of your prayer, all right, was so that, you know, you will settle down and say, banking, shaking, shaky banking in Nigeria, what do we do? What do we do? Okay, we don't know exactly what is happening. Some people say it's Northern agenda. Some say Southern agenda. Some say it is a European agenda. I heard that Charles Soludo, it's not Charles Soludo. It's Lamido Sanusi, right? They say he has run down to Europe to go and explain to them what's going on in Nigeria, whatever it is. Anyway, there's pandemonium everywhere. The Bible says that he's God that makes wars to cease. So a man needs to settle at home and say, God, there's a war in the banking sector. Are you getting my point? Banking can pray. Yeah, I can. You can pray. But there are a few people that God has connected their souls. The problem we have a lot of times is that, you know, sometimes, all right, there may be nobody. Why? Because all of them sold their souls. On a, you know, approve 5 billion naira loan, we'll give you 60 million naira cutback. As he takes that 60 million, God says, idiot, he can't do anything again. So when Sanusi is shouting, he'll be shouting, you go to church, brethren, we will pray. We will pray that is our banks will not collapse. And God can't hear anything. Everybody there sold his right to pray. It's called the best right for a morsel of meat valued at 75 million naira. Do you get my point? But it's still a morsel of meat. It's still a morsel of meat. It's still a morsel of meat. So they can't talk again. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Do you know why God is raising you up and allowing you to go through everything you have gone through and give you the kind of instructions? Listen, I told you, prayer with God is not, hey, jegbe, legbe, legge, oh, quarry, quarry, quarry today, oh, remove your shirt. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. If you want to do that, it's not a sin. Go ahead, do it. Is that okay? But really, what matters is the quality of person standing. Are you getting my point? And we utter simple words. Do you follow? And the whole land is spared. Abraham just said, you know, Abraham was very hesitant. He was like, dear Lord, sir, can you spare 1 minute? Any problem? Not too much. Yes. You were talking about destroying some people. No, be so. I was just wondering. That was it. Are you getting my point? It was a Lord, a commander, in the name of Jesus. Sodom shall not be destroyed. You know, I'm not saying it's bad though. Me too, I pray like that sometimes. Are you getting my point? That's just a reflection of the anger inside your belly. You get my point? It really is not an equivalent of the potency. It doesn't reflect the potency of your prayer. It doesn't at all. It just shows some vexation in your spirit. It's true. I hope you get what I'm saying. The potency of prayer, all right, is the person who's praying. Even if all he uttered was Lord, no. That no, all right, the whole of heaven is resounding with his no. You see, It is not just about, praise the Lord, I prayed for food, and I got garri, not only garri, sugar day. God added salt. Hey, praise my God is good. Pepper and onion, they decide. It's not a bad thing, is it? But that's level one. It's not what the testimony right now. God is raising up so that we'll become so powerful, and then we'll begin to utter his will. Last time I talked about people you are connected to, I said we'll pray for your friends, you pray for your family, all right? We are still teaching, all right? I believe we are all learning, all right? We'll pray for ministries, we'll pray for the body of Christ. There are times you just be somewhere and you hear something, you know, something happened today and I felt very bad again. I'll tell you two things, one to make you laugh, one is a serious matter. The first one is that one man in my church, one man in my office, a colleague of mine, talked to another of our colleagues. He said, I hope you are preparing for one man of God coming to your church. The guy said, I'm preparing. I hope you are preparing. I hope you are gather 200,000 naira because you know when he comes, who will give 200,000? You know when you were hearing, I hope you are preparing. You think, I hope you are praying. You understand my point? I hope you are, you know, spiritually getting ready. And like I said, I hope you are preparing. I said, how much have you gathered? Is it up to 200,000? Because when he comes, you know, the anointing, though, is 200. Yeah. And all of them Christians, me there laughing. The guy is shouting, I hope you are preparing. The one is shouting, I hope you are preparing. Two of them go to the same church. And they're expecting a man of God saying, hey, I hope you are preparing. Hi. That is, I banged the table. I said, my God, this thing is bad. We have gotten so used to it, we don't realize how terrible it is. The second one that I said to make you laugh, that one was a serious matter. This one is to make you laugh. Oh, watching TV yesterday. No, was it on Sunday? In my house, we were doing a documentary kind of, they call it Witness on Al Jazeera. So, they show some fishermen, I think it's Somalia, Ethiopia. So they were cutting fish, you know, and stuff like that. So someone was asking, so what happened to the fish? He said, the fresh fish goes to Europe, the rotten one goes to Nigeria. I'm not joking. My wife was so angry. Till now she see the vex. Me, I was, I laughed. My brother, I laughed. Till now I'm still laughing. If I'm driving, I remember it, I start laughing. Now, this is a casual fisherman, not a big tycoon, someone, just one casual fisherman beside the water. He said, the fresh fish goes to Europe. I'm giving you, as God is my witness, the words. He said, the fresh fish goes to Europe. The rotten ones, that is, those ones that are rotten on their way to destruction, they go to Nigeria. I told my wife, now you see why, what do you call this? Stockfish, they smell. It is not, it is because it is rotten fish. Coming to Nigeria, they go put her inside Ethiopian or Somalian sun. It go dry. Then you sell it expensive in the great market. And you serve your special guest with rotten fish. I'm telling you. I saw this one on television. The man, he was just passing the comment. They were talking about, immigration from those Northern African countries across the waters in the Mediterranean to Europe. Just kind of just the fresh fish goes to Europe. The rotten one goes to Nigeria. He didn't say Africa. He said Nigeria. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, what am I saying? Now that was a joke, alright? Well, it really happened, alright? But honestly, just make you laugh. But you know, somebody feel vexed for house. And say, Lord, no more. He said, from now on, the rotten fish shall go to Europe. And the fresh ones shall come to Nigeria. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain anyway. Let me just summarize everything. This is the point. We walk with God. It's not just for the purpose of getting material blessings for ourselves, but so that we'll be highly esteemed in God's presence. That's what I was trying to explain. That we'll be highly esteemed. And what we'll now do with that opportunity, the privilege we have before God, is that we start making requests according to the will of God. Then we can decide that this will not happen. Because, listen, injustice, Bible says that God saw it and it displeased him. So we know that injustice is against the will of God. Therefore, we can declare that there will be electoral reforms in Nigeria. Because no matter what you say, injustice is against the will of God. Do you understand my point? Prosperity is the will of God. It's only when men have sinned. And let me tell you something about sin. When we sin, God judges reluctantly. That's why before he judges, he looks around. Will anybody pray? That's the attitude. I want to kill somebody who go pray. And sometimes it's spiritual things. And so they build. There's a fight. There are people who are condemning. And sometimes we do it as believers in a good way. Sometimes even in a bad way. Me, I know they to condemn myself now. What I mean is that if the cause looks like I should condemn, I will condemn. If you have somebody pleading mercy on your behalf, God help you. If you don't have, you're on your own. If you're a kidnapper, are you getting my point? When I'm remembering you, I always put a small clause. I say, God, unless he repents in these 24 hours, I always put it so I won't be like a wicked soul. The truth is that God knows I'm just adding that one so that I won't like I'm wicked. But I think you're a very cruel person. If you kidnap an adult and you do like they did to Peter Doche, I say, sorry, sir, I hope you're not angry we kidnapped you. It's just small money we want to collect. We won't touch you. Peter Doche said they treated him very well. I feel not pray about you. But you kidnap a 7-month-old baby. You're a dead man. You're a dead man. I was talking to a senior brother the other day. He said when he heard that thing, he prayed against those people. That he heard that some kidnappers some days later, by a week or two later, were trying to kidnap somewhere around the particular place and they were killed. And in his heart, he knew it was those people that he was praying against. Are you getting what I'm saying? God, he doesn't like to judge. What he does, he looks around, but there's people that are so wicked. They're so wicked. Even their mother is not praying for them. They are so wicked. Even their mother has stopped praying. And those kind of people, God, you all quickly finish them. Because listen, except somebody is pleading for mercy, it's hard. No matter how God desires to save, it is difficult. Are you getting my point? Therefore, I want to explain something to us again. That's why I taught this message, a continuation of what we said last time. This is your assignment, to plead God's mercy upon all that you love, upon everyone who's connected to you. I hope you are getting my point. Upon your nation, upon the things that matter to you. A lot of us here are in school, and you hear of ASU strike, ASU riot. Sorry, ASU not the riot. Now they strike, Abby. Uh-huh. And the thing is disturbing. You know, education, there are different ways to respond. You can respond and say, this country is useless. In fact, if God just opens the door, I'm going to University of Liverpool to go and complete my first degree. Rubbish country, nonsense country. God, you talk. God, you're obvious. You don't mind this guy self. You jump to somebody else. They will say, our country doesn't have to be like this. Are you getting my point? Our country doesn't have to be like this. And the fellow kneels down at home. And that's the last point I wanted to make. Oh God, my time is gone. But before I leave, it's very important. And that's the issue of how we pray. The problem we have a lot as Christians is that our words are too plenty. When the Bible commanded our words should be few. Our words are too plenty. Oh thou goddess, sorry, you call all kinds of names. The goddess that dwellest in lightest, inapproachablest. Yeah. We speak too many words. We use all kinds of words. We come to thee today as thy feet is stretching from heaven down to the earth. As it is written. You speak. God say, now, wow. I know today will not be prayer session. I know. You understand? You came to ask for something. You understand? You came to ask for something. What is it? If you know what it is, please state it simply. If you don't know, you can lie down there and be groaning. It's all right. The Holy Spirit can use your groan. But if you know what it is, it and the words don't have to be hard. Simple prayer. Dear Lord, there's been a disruption in our educational system because of this ASUU strike. As a consequence of the disagreement between the ASUU executive and the federal government, you are the God who makes words cease. I ask in the name of Jesus that you bring this conflict to an end in the name of Jesus Christ. We desire to return back to school. We desire a regular academic calendar. We desire this. Therefore, we ask in the name of Jesus, grant it. Let words cease. Simple words. 2, 3, 4 lines, and you're through. Next day, you want to pray again. Father, I thank you because you are the God that makes. People say that it's a prayer of faith, so you don't have to repeat it. Well, I don't. Let me say, prayer of intercession. No, it doesn't work like that. You identify your prayer and you keep on saying it. It's like a war. Do you understand my point? The realm of the spirit. Okay? You stay there until the angel comes and says, the first day you prayed, we heard. Are you getting what I'm saying? And they were brought an answer. That's how people pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? Spend most of your time giving God thanks. Spend most of your time worshiping. Do you understand what I mean? If you have a specific request, it doesn't, you know, sometimes we feel like we have not prayed until we have showed God we are angry. Lord, look at my face. See? Yeah. It doesn't. I hope you're getting my point. The problem we have is that we have learnt our prayers by rote, that is, by copying. You know, one of my friends told me about when I was 7. I had this guy, I used to call him pastor. So he had a friend. They used to go to, I think, CAC in their school. No, in their home. So when they're in school, and they don't have a prayer meeting. Once you raise the prayer, the guy, he says the same thing all the time. Baka! Wakaka, 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 wah, wah, wah. The guy used to pray. And the guy is in fellowship. Those who don't know, you think he's a serious person. He just, when he goes to church at home, and those kinds of things, so he don't cram one phrase from inside it. It sounds funny, but a lot of us do it. We just copy the kind of prayers we heard other people pray. Not realize that it doesn't have to be like that. Sometimes people pray out of the vexation of their soul, and it happens. You know what I mean? It is not the vexation, the thing you are seeing that is making the person effective. It's because of the focus, his faith or her faith that has now placed upon the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they will now want to pray next time, so we'll now repeat, all right, all that habit of vexation, even when we are not that vexed. What have I emphasized today? The simplicity of the words, but most importantly, from the righteous man, a righteous woman, that is uttering words in God's presence. How do I attain righteousness? A close walk with God and making the right choices, all right, as God places a demand upon my life. And then, prayer is simple. In fact, I thought I would get there today, but I spent so much time talking, I have to stop. Because I mentioned about it, and I think it was finally a few days ago. I've been thinking about this for years, for a long time. Finally, a few days ago, it began to congeal. How Jesus used to pray all night. I don't think it wasn't as difficult, okay, as I used to think. It was just because of the weight of things that God had placed upon his heart. Do you get my point? Therefore, when he will rise, there were so many things that were going to happen, both immediately and much later. And as the Holy Spirit, because you see, these things are, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to him. He will have a vision, I believe, about something that is about to go wrong. You understand what I mean? And he'll begin to employ God like red, like Moses, and say, no, Lord, this will not happen. I ask, and what I want to emphasize is that it's not the plenty words, it's the person talking. You're getting my logic, all right? You'll begin to ask God like Abraham for that particular situation. You'll be asking God, like these people that we have seen, like Daniel, and God will, because of him. What the Bible says, God actually, Jesus became, like I read there, is that he ever lives to make intercession. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what he ever lives to do. Let me say something to you. Anything that concerns you enough to talk about, then please don't just talk, pray about. Let me say this to you. You are an important person. No? You are what? You are an important person. That's what children of God are. That's what it means to be a priest of God. So we make prayers, all right? So what used to happen, Jesus, each time something will come up, the Holy Spirit will reveal to him, or he will just know in his soul, tomorrow they are going to come with headaches. and is an important person. God, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When God is pleased with you, he answers your prayers. So he will say, Lord, as a woman with headache comes tomorrow, let her be healed. As the woman with issue of blood touches my garment, fill me with the anointing that she might be healed. As that dead son is being carried away, Lord, let... I was reading about Elijah. Elisha simply asked the Lord, Lord, let this boy's spirit return back to his body. And that's how the boy was healed. Are you getting my point? So he will ask the Lord, look, let this boy's body return. Look, he is fully prayed up. Next day, the guy, the boy's corpse passed. He said, nobody that boy was sick for vision yesterday. Come. He knew already. Yeah, you get my point? So just say, wake up. And the boy, you know, as soon as he's touched, all the prayers prayed earlier are activated. The power is released. Yeah, you get my point? The power is immediately released into his life. And then the boy is healed. I discovered that's how he used to pray. That everything that concerns him, as God reveals it to him, he utters a word about it. And almost all of them, I believe, the prayers of intercession. Praying, making requests for somebody. Do you understand my point? So you have a brother, you have a friend, you have a sister. We'll come back to the issue of our nation later. But let's just settle in so that we don't have too many things on our minds, all right? As we are learning and doing these things. You have a brother, you have a sister, you have a parent, you have a cousin. You have somebody, all right, whose heart or whose has a situation in life. They don't know God. There's something about the prayer of intercession. Let me just say this. This is not supposed to discourage you, all right? It's not supposed to be discouraging. Prayer has measures. There are times that people pray and God will just say for certain reasons that, sorry, I can't do this one. You know that. You know that. But, this is the point, but you won't have even have the privilege of being denied if you never asked. And most things you'll have prayed about, in my opinion, at least 95%, it would have. Because why I said that God would say, this one I can't do. He said, if you see a brother sinning a sin that's unto death, I'm not asking you to make prayers for that one. Because even if you did, the Lord would not be able to answer you. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was a time Moses said to God, if you will not go with us, you will not save this book, blot my name out of the book of life. God said, Clear, my friend. He that sins against me, I will blot his name out. Which kind of righteousness did you practice? Take your time. That's what God told him in effect. He said, Moses, relax. Is the person that sins against me, that I blot his name, the soul that perish, the soul that sins is the one that perishes, not the righteous man trying to save him. Get up, leave the place. All right? Okay, don't worry, I will spare them. But then, your prayer can't cover this side. There are times God says that the sin of this man cannot be atoned for, either by sacrifice or forever. So people make intercessions, and at such times, you know, God may say, no, I can't do something. But I don't want to be discouraged by that. Your job is to do what? Constantly. All right? You pray for somebody, and the person eventually did not get saved, like we say. It shouldn't discourage you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But then what do? You constantly. Now I understand why Paul said, Jesus was speaking. He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because events of life, there are plenty. Are you getting what I'm saying? Events of life, there are plenty. It doesn't have to be, okay, now it's prayer time. Prayer times are good. But like I say, if as you are going, as the matter comes up, because those are your words, they are the weapons that God will use, all right, to restore things on the earth. That's why your righteousness and my righteousness, they are so important as far as God is concerned. We think, oh God, God will deliver us from it. We think that righteousness is so that I might be blessed. No. One of the things that God does for his people is first take their attention away from themselves. So in fact, in my opinion, why God gave us the message of faith, which we learned over those years, was to take our attentions away from ourselves. Are you getting my point? And that, look, relax, you are taken care of. Now let's do serious things. Sometimes we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't fear any evil because the Lord is with us. But what do we experience at such times? We come out triumphant. We come out having attained a higher level of being pleasing to God. So that we can handle things that are more powerful. We are all children of God. We are many, all right? Each person has his own world, all right? That God says, speak, and things will be done. But there are those, it's interesting to say this, there are those that God has commanded to declare concerning nations. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias again today. He said there's no true, he was quoting somebody, that there's no true mass movement. That if you go and check, the center of every mass movement is one single person. He says, so the cause of Christ moves forward as individuals move forward. Are you getting my point? You will increase in life. That here, amen. The time will come that you know, there are kingmakers in every state. This one will be the next governor. This one will be the next senator from this senatorial district. Well, there are two levels. There are outward people. There are spiritual people. Whether they are outward or spiritual, but one thing I know is that a lot of those people are only in power because you have not yet reached the position of maturity. You are yet a child. You don't even know what's called politics. How much more to decide anything? Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I've spent all the time today talking. But I hope you've learned something. If you have, say amen.
Amen.
Make me feel happy. Say another amen.
Amen.
But I don't want to keep us for too long. Oh, no, don't worry. We'll continue next time and then we'll take a lot of time to pray. Let's just take a minute or two. Please just pray a minute or two for me. Can you just rise to your feet? First of all, just for a minute, for 30 seconds, just give the Lord thanks. Like I said, just thank God that you are an important person before Him. Thank Him for the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank Him for that. Very important, because that's a basis. That's a foundation for what we are experiencing. Says, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. I just feel like telling some people, don't think that, yes, I was a sinner. Look, that's why Jesus came. Lord, everybody, listen to this. Listen to this. I think I should correct some people, all right? Don't think I was a sinner. I've not done anything for God and all of that. That's not, please, don't misunderstand me. The reason why Jesus came was so that your past might be wiped away. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
Now, bear that in mind. So you have enough to thank God for. Is that all right? I'm just encouraging that as you're walking with God, remember that you are moving up to higher heights every day. Is that all right? Okay, so let's just keep continuing giving the Lord thanks. That was so important that I pointed out. Let's say, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because Jesus died for me and I'm a righteous person in Christ Jesus. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I am of faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the righteousness of God is in me. I am of faith in Christ Jesus. Let's just give the Lord thanks for that. And again, let's take, like we did last time, I wanted to take one person or two people. Okay, let's make it two now. Or a particular situation in your life, in your family. When I say your life now, people that you know. You're not praying by yourself now. You're praying for people that you know. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. All right, a family member, a cousin, a friend, all right, a bosom friend, a church member, a childhood friend, somebody you grew up in faith together, and you know issues in their life. For example, maybe if I say this, it sounds funny, but the fellow is going to one funny church, all they do is chase the devil around, and you know that's not right. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give unto my friend the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let him understand his victory in Christ Jesus. I ask, Father God, that you draw him to settle down so as to know truth, that he might discover what you have done for him already in Christ Jesus. I ask in the name of Jesus. Grant him understanding. Grant him knowledge. Deliver him from his confusion. There are those you know, where they go every day is one Babalawo's house, one Dibia's house, one White Garment Church, one place where they are doing sacrifices. And you know that's not the way of truth. Say, Lord, give my friend, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my cousin, my whatever it is, my auntie. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for him. Mention the person by name. Just under your breath there. In simple words, say, Lord, I ask. Give them understanding. Deliver them from confusion. Say, Lord, by the authority that is in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of confusion in their lives. Say, Lord, draw them to light. Draw them to truth. I ask, Father God, that you break through their darkness with your light. You break through their confusion with your understanding. Mention somebody who is sick and the doctor said the person will die. If you will ask, God will, because he said, I have pardoned according to your word. I have given life according to your word. I have given healing according to your word. That's what he wants to say. I remember a patient of mine while I was serving. I went to my house and said, no, not in my hospital. Just my jurisdiction was my issue. I said, not in this hospital. Next day, the woman began to get well. The devil that wanted to kill her had to remove her from my hospital while I was not watching, that she might die elsewhere. I remember different situations in which my sister or a friend's child have been called, and that suddenly, you know, the prayer will just grip my soul. And in the name of Jesus, I will intercede. Sometimes so fervent am I in the spirit. I pray in the spirit. And then next, the testimony I hear next day is that, oh, at this particular point in time, this happened. That is, God pardons according to your word. God gives life. I like the testimony Ken Hagin gave. He said he knew in himself that this wife he has married, though, she won't live long. Why he knew, he doesn't know. He just knew. And then one day he had a vision of the Lord and he asked simply, Lord, I don't want my wife to die early. I want her to live long. I want her to live into her old age and be my wife for a long time. And the Lord says, simply because you have asked, I will do it for you. And the woman died about 2 or 3 years after he died. He was 80-something when he finally passed on. And she was also 80-something when she finally passed on a few years ago. So make a simple request. Just say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you for this person. Heal him totally. I ask for this fellow. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my friend. This is my father. This is my mother. The fellow is in hospital. I just feel like doing something. I don't know. Can you just turn to somebody beside you? Just join hands with one person. Just one person. Two hands. Join two hands. Just join two hands. One person. One person. Bible says the two of you shall agree as touching anything. Just whisper to the person. I want you to. You don't have to give too many details. Just say, I want to pray for my sister. I want to pray for my brother. I just want to agree. So I give you 45 seconds for the first person's prayer point, and 45 seconds for the second person's prayer point. So just tell the person just a simple thing. I'm praying for my sister that she might be healed. I'm praying for my father that he might be saved. And tell the person, my name is John. My name is Andrew. So you might say, I'm Andrew's father. But you know what it is. All right, now begin to pray. You have 45 seconds. Simple words, not difficult words. Just say, this is what I want. I want my sister to gain admission. All right? She has failed to ask a number of times. She's taking an exam now. I want her to pass. I want her to have understanding. So just in simple words. You are taking the first person's prayer point. After that, you go to the second person. So let's just take for 45 seconds. We have a few seconds to go. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you because we have agreed and you have answered. Now, let's take the second prayer point. The second person. Tell the person their own prayer point, and two of you will agree. Bible says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything that we shall ask. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because you have heard us. In agreement, we have come before your throne, and we ask that your power be released into all these situations in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's declare upon our Nigeria, upon our country, just say goodness and mercy will flow in this land. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak upon this land. We speak to this land, Nigeria. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. We call good governance to be in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke confusion in politics in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll just make a short prayer and I want to say amen. Father, everyone who is aspiring for high posts for personal gain and not primarily for national and state and local development, Lord, let their plans be frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, no matter how powerful they are, take that power, take that money away from them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, disgrace them so that they will not be able to speak publicly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, everyone who will have the desire for progress, who will use the office you will give him or her for progress in this nation, give them those opportunities in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even though they be small, Lord, like David, gather around them strong men that will help bring them to that highly exalted position in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, as one is meditating in his heart, who you have called into political office and saying, if I were given this opportunity, this is what I will do. And it's in line, Lord, with your plan for this nation. Your plan for justice, your plan for progress, your plan for prosperity, your plan for establishing righteousness in every field. Lord, we ask for that person, even though we don't know him by name, but you know him by name. We say, Lord, let your power move him into that office you have prepared him for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It may not be in a big political party today. It may not have much. But Lord, you can do anything. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. He brings down one and elevates another. Lord, elevate righteous men in this land in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All evil men, Lord, who have tabernacled in certain positions and therefore have constituted themselves into obstructions to progress, the time for judgment has come. Uproot them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We speak against their fortresses. Be broken in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We speak against their strength. Become weak in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even though they be as big as Goliath, yet the small stone from the anointed one, David, will bring them crashing down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, when their judgments are upon the earth, O God, the inhabitants thereof they learn righteousness. Cause us to learn righteousness, Lord, in this nation, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you because you are so good. You are our fortress. You are our help. You are the place of our hiding. You are our defense. You are our security. You are our provider. In you we live. In you we move. In you we have our very existence. Lord, we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I bless, Lord, everybody present here. I declare the Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
I declare that the Lord will bless you continually and keep you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the Lord will be gracious unto you and make your path straight. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren. The word works.